Hey, what's up, Mixed Messages crew? As we move here closer to the holidays, if you're listening and watching to these in real time, we have a little gift for you where we actually are offering an episode that was a really hot topic not that long ago. Something that we want to rewind to and take stock, refocus, say some prayers, and actually dig into what God is calling us to as we try to navigate all those mixed messages all around us. So dial in, tune in, and see how God wants to work in our minds and hearts in this episode.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, hello.
Joe.
Oh, hi.
To the intro.
Hello. Hola. Bonjour. Ni hao.
Okay. We're all waiting.
So we're all waiting. For what? What do you want me to do?
Do the intro.
Oh.
You're sending mixed messages right now.
Doom, 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 doom. Ice is back with a brand new edition. No? No, not that,
no,
not that intro? That
one.
Oh, okay. Is this West Philadelphia, born and raised?
No, not that one.
No, okay. Thank you for tuning into today's episode.
There you go. Go with that one.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning into today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, your host, and I'm excited to dive into our topic for the day. In a world where everyone, from news outlets to comedians, friends to advertisements, it seems everyone has a strong opinion on how we should think, live, and make decisions, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by all the noise. When everyone's offering a different advice, how do we cut through the confusion? How do we sift through that information overload and determine what actually governs our lives? Well, as we navigate these challenging questions, we want to be a resource that helps you process and pray through some of today's most pressing issues. Let's jump in. Oh, hey, Jeff.
Hey, Joe. Good to see you.
You too. It's been a long time.
I know. Minutes,
seconds, maybe even. It's the benefit. We try to sit down and record a couple of these at a time because our schedules are sometimes not that complimentary.
Yeah.
And so when we do, we try to record a couple, and we just got to record one together.
We did.
Now we get to do
that
this
4th of July episode was amazing.
Months ago, that was not that recent. Anyway, cool. Well, Jeff, we have another question that was submitted this week, and it's interesting, at least for me, as I read this question. I feel like I can sense the person's almost emotions jump through the page, just like, man, is my life what's governing what's happening to me, or how is this God's plan, and then how do I reconcile that? Let's dive into the question. Mm-hmm. Quote, unquote, your life is all Jesus's plan, is something that's been said at Grace. So is where I'm at right now in life because of the choices I've made and the actions that I've taken, or is where I'm at in life just Jesus's plan? Is it, since you've messed up this bad, this is what you have to work with? Or is it something God set into motion? Mm. How do we navigate the difference between God working plans together and then the control that we have over it based on the healthy or unhealthy things that we do?
Yeah, that's a really deep question. So I would start to give this answer this way. I would say that when we are looking for God's plan, we should look at it from the perspective of where we are at, not just where we have been or where we want to be.
Okay.
So one of the things that Jesus is very strong about in the Gospels is he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own, and it will take care of itself. Worry about today. Mm. And sometimes when we're looking for God's plan, we're asking God to lay out a 50-year life map for us. And even with the best of sincerity, we're looking at God and saying, if you lay that out for me, I'll follow that. What Jesus would tend to say is, why don't you look at what's in front of you right now? And what's in front of you right now, I give you a free will so that you can make the choice that's in front of you right now. And from that choice, my sovereign will or my big will it plays out in your life one way or another. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about some really kind of complicated, and I would even argue like hard to understand things that I'm going to talk about more here and try to tackle it for you. But I promise you, I'm not going to wind up with an answer that's fully going to satisfy. Mm-hmm. Because to me, this is part of the mystery of God. And sometimes when God has a mystery, what God does is he tells me what to do. He doesn't always tell me why. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He doesn't always tell me how, but he tells me what. And sometimes what I need to do is live in the what, and I have to release the why and the how a little bit. So, you know, the question is God sovereign, or is he in control of everything? Is he all-powerful? Is he everywhere? Does he know everything? I just kind of lump all that under his sovereignty. Or do we have a free will so that we can make choices for or against God, and it affects the direction of our life? And the biblical answer to that is yes. Hmm. Both of those things are in the Bible. And if you said, play it out and prove it, you know, in a certain way, I would say to you, that's where the mystery enters in. So I'll give you an example. So King Solomon in the Old Testament built the temple. Mm-hmm. And the temple was the place that the nation of Israel and others were to come literally interact with God. The presence of God was in the temple. They would worship God. They would confess their sins. They would restore right relationship with God. So the ability for Solomon to build that is a great, great honor. Can you imagine if God looked at you and said, I want you to be the one who erects the place where I'm going to interact and change people's lives. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he built the temple. Well, how did Solomon become king? So Solomon became king because his father David had an affair and murdered his lover's husband. Mm-hmm. And then his sibling died at birth, and Solomon, so to say, is the second child of David and Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. So is that God's plan? Mm-hmm. Or did David enact a free will in that plan? And the answer is yes.
Right.
So David made choices, and we could, you know, if we wanted to look at that story, he should have been off at war. He wasn't. He saw somebody naked, and he didn't turn away. He stared. He sent for her. He abused his power on all kinds of levels. He devised a plan to have her husband killed. I mean, on and on and on and on. He made choices. By the way, this is the same David that God says is a man after my own heart. Mm-hmm. So he made choices that resulted in circumstances that resulted in Solomon. Mm-hmm. Did God want a temple built for himself? Yes. So is it logical that God would raise up for himself one who could build that temple? Yes. Mm-hmm. So did God know Solomon was going to build the temple? Well, sure he did. Was that how he wanted Solomon to arrive on the planet? I don't know, like David violated like 5 of the 10 commandments,
right?
You know, in that process. Does God have a higher arcing will that cannot be thwarted? Yes. God is going to have his name glorified regardless of the way that you participate in that glorification. Do we have a free will where we can rebel against God? Yes. Why? Because I have to have a free will in order to love. Mm-hmm. So I cannot love you if I cannot choose to hate you. And what God wants, Jesus says, the greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. So I have to have a free will to even obey God that way. But does God ultimately control the path and the flow of history? Yes. Make all that make sense with chapter and verse, Jeff. I'm like, it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery. What I do know is this. I do know what God says to me, right? So I do know that when I have sinned against God, I am forgiven by his grace and mercy. Does that affect the path and the will of his life for me? Sure it does. Mm-hmm. I do know that I have a choice every moment to rebel against God. to harden my heart, to live in unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. Would that affect the direction of my life? Absolutely. So my choices absolutely do that. Would that stop God accomplishing in my life what he wanted to accomplish? I would actually say no, that God is going to do what he's going to do. And the only part of that that I can really get my head around is worrying about today and not tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So today, I know the choices that God would want me to act on. Today, I know how to honor God. When I do that, what does that mean till tomorrow? I don't have any idea.
Yeah. God's plans are so much higher than ours. It, you know, the Bible literally says his ways are higher than our ways. And I think of like different prophets in the Old Testament, since that's kind of where we're couched for today. You know, you have someone like Elijah who, relatively speaking, humanistically speaking, followed God pretty continuously. And then you have prophets like Jonah who, like, literally went against what God asked him to do. And then even when he did it, he kind of did it, he did it begrudgingly and even kind of wanted to shake his fist at God of why is your character so faithful? Why did you even still do this? And in both cases, God's like, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to use your life to bring me glory and to reach people and bring them have faith in me. I'm going to either show what a faithful life looks like, or I'm going to show you what my redemption looks like.
Yeah.
And either way, I'm going to use it, and people are going to respond to me because of who I am. And so we have an opportunity. Do we want our life to look more like Elijah, where it's like, wow, look at how when I walk in step with God, this is really working out? Or do we want our life to look like Jonah? It's like, well, kind of despite how I interacted with God, apparently he was still going to do what he was going to do.
Yeah, and the question then is like, if Jonah had drowned when they threw him out of the ship, would God have used somebody else? And my answer to that is, I don't know. He used Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And people can theorize. And there are books that are 2 feet thick that you can read on this, and I've read them. And I'm like, you're guessing. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we overcomplicate these things so deeply because we're trying to win a theological argument instead of allowing that in the scripture there is mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Did David have to have an affair with Bathsheba for Solomon to be born? No. Then why did he? I don't know. He did. I don't know. I don't know. I have the advantage of seeing the outcome. Why did God? And then we'll pull that into our own life. Like, did my loved one have to suffer in order for God to be glorified? Well, the answer is no. Why did they suffer? And the answer is I don't know. The real question is, what do you do in the suffering?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you count it as joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. This is James 1. Perseverance got to finish its work, so you're mature and complete, not like anything. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I just know what. And I as a person of faith, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So as a person of faith, I have to admit that there's times that faith has mystery in it. And I was raised in a tradition, and even educated somewhat in a tradition, that there's an answer for everything. And as I've gotten older and maybe wiser, I like to call myself an honest theologian. And one of the pieces of honesty that I've put in to my theological work is that there is mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read the Bible does not give me an answer for everything. Sometimes it gives me an account, mm-hmm. David, Bathsheba, and an outcome, but why did it go that way? I don't know. Sometimes, you see this, like when Lazarus died, his sisters and even the disciples were like, why weren't you here? And Jesus is like, because I decided not to be. Why would you do that? So you could see the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to die? Why didn't he just like get his arm cut off and Jesus grew him a new one?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, I don't know. And to me, if somebody throws more on that, you're getting outside the bounds of Scripture or manipulating Scripture, and it's almost like a conspiracy theorist. You're mm-hmm. like, you know, A plus B equals C equals W. Mm-hmm. You're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, it's the Bible says what it says, and in the Bible, God has revealed a knowledge of himself to us. Mm-hmm. It's the place that we get the most knowledge about God, mm-hmm. which means that when God does not give knowledge about himself, we have to look and say, that's not what he was trying to teach us then. Mm-hmm. If he leaves a mystery, God didn't deem it necessary for me to understand that mystery.
Yeah.
And that's where my faith kicks in. And so, like, do bad things happen to good people?
Sure.
Right. Or we can make a set of decisions and never go through pain. Mm-hmm. See, because I have free will. Do good things happen to bad people? Yes. Because God's sovereign, and it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, and he's doing something I don't understand. So all that backward math and that confusing math is satisfied through faith. Mm-hmm. And faith is not naive, it's not dumb, it's not a lack of seeking and searching. It's realizing that there is a mystery to it. The example I like to use the most about this idea of mystery is the example of love. Hmm. So why do you love your wife? Ultimately, you have to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just do. There's a connection. I met her. She's the one. She's my soulmate. And then if I said, so if you never met her, would you be unmarried? Well, no, I would. So she's not the one. She's a one. But why do you love her? Why do you love your daughter? Well, she's my daughter. Yeah, but she's really inconvenient. She costs a fortune. She chews up your time. You know, the kids are just like owning puppies. They pee and they poop and they're just. So why are you bonded to them? Why is that bond spiritual? Mm-hmm. How come I can have a dog give birth, the mother dog give birth to a child, give the child away, and it doesn't bother the mother? But if I went and took your daughter from Mandy, Mandy would rip my face off.
Mm-hmm. I would too.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be more afraid of Mandy, to be honest with you.
I understand.
but you see what I'm saying? Like, there's a mystery to it. And when you read science and are like, well, it's a biological bond, we're all like, whatever. It's not. Yes, there's biology. Nobody thinks that. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a cultural construct. Family's a culture, and we're like, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, but it's not. Everybody knows that it's not. It's deeper than that. What is it? Well, it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Well, both of those things that you just mentioned, they're not constructs, even though we use that word sometimes. They're observations. Like, watching humanity all respond to their children is an observation, not a construct.
Yeah.
Like, watching us, like, there's a big difference between gathering data and assuming the data is what created the phenomenon. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a... What I love about what you're saying is there's actually an amazing depth to the fact that it's a choice then. Like, your illustration about whether or not I'd be married if I didn't meet Mandy is like, that actually makes our relationship more special.
Right.
Because if we were just soulmates, well, then I guess we have to be married. Cool.
That's right. Or if it was just instinct, you know, animals in the wild. Mm-hmm. It's just mating.
But whatever those question marks are that got me to think, this is the one I want to marry, well, now I've made a conscious choice every day to run after her and to be her husband. It's actually more loving to make that choice than for it to have been made for me.
That's why girls gasp when a guy gets on his knee and says, I choose you. And it's why men are terrified when they do that, because if she were to say no.
Oh, boy, yeah.
By the way, here's a little piece of life advice for you. If it's ever a jump ball, don't ask.
They're not ready for it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? And there's a mystery to it all. It's not cultural. It's not biology. it's not social construct. Mm-hmm. It's love. Love is spiritual, and spiritual has mystery to it. So as a that this is where when I say if I were to say you know, I chose Heidi, she's my wife, etc. When I'm having hard times, the Bible says what to do. Mm-hmm. Submit yourself to her as Christ did to the church. Mm-hmm. Live with your wife in a loving way. Know her. Mm-hmm. Pray for her. These are all things the Bible says to do. What does that do? Well, that changes my heart, even if it doesn't change. That's why we can love someone who puts us in pain. It's a mystery. So the question our listeners asking is it's a great question. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of depth. And the answer is, yes, my choices have consequences. There's choices I can make that put me in a position that God can bless me. There's choices that I can make that put me in a position where God opposes me. Mm-hmm. He gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. Do those decisions determine all of my life? Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. Because you would understand examples of people who made horrible life decisions when they were young that God has used in powerful ways. The Apostle Paul would mm-hmm. be an example of that, sure. right? And then you know more recent examples. You also know people who have made phenomenal decisions throughout their life who've lived a very painful life. Just yesterday or Monday, I think, I was talking to the staff about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Mm-hmm. He was a seminary professor, a pastor who loved Jesus and was hung and murdered by the Nazis about 3 days before World War II was over. He was a martyr. And I'm like, yeah, what'd he ever do besides right. all the right things?
Right.
You know? So, well, why? Well, because God's sovereign. Well, what's he accomplishing? That's above me.
Yep.
I don't know. I know that Dietrich Bonhoeffer still affects the world for Christ because he was a martyr. Mm-hmm. I know that I was talking to our whole church about him, a church staff about him on Monday.
Right.
So I see things God does. Mm-hmm. C.S. Lewis didn't die a martyr's death, but he's affects it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
They made his stuff into movies.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and love, just because we love somebody doesn't mean we're not going to do mundane or really hard things. And so, like, I love my daughter, and I ask her to do the dishes sometimes. And she could turn, well, don't you love me? Yeah, do the dishes. Like, well, aren't I special? Aren't I worth more than dishes? Yeah. But do the dishes.
Yeah.
Like, this is just what's in front of us right now.
Do you stare at her like you're staring at me right now?
With depth into her glare.
I feel like I got a dad glare from Joe right now.
And I think of analogies and metaphors all the time, but like, and because I don't have multiple children, I have to use like you as an example. But like, if your house was on fire and this was, you know, let's say it was 10 years ago, so all of your kids are still at home. And the only way for you to get out of the fire was for you to jump from a second-story window, but on the way down, you broke your leg, okay? And your youngest was still in the house. You would probably look at Josiah and Isaac and say, go back into the house and get your brother.
Yeah.
Dad, aren't we your sons? Why would you ask us to do something so hard? Because out of love, I need you to go through this fire,
yeah,
to do something that is desperately needed. And so just because God asks us to walk through something hard doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And just because sometimes it's like, is the mundane nature of my life right now, does that mean God loves me? It's like, it might.
Yeah, it was just in Romans 12, the Apostle Paul says, one of the things we do is we help each other have confidence in our hope. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one of the things that's hard, very hard for us as temporal, mortal beings is to think eternally.
Yep.
And so I always compare it to being in the eighth grade. Talking to an eighth grader about how they will forget all about the eighth grade and not care about the eighth grade while they're in the eighth grade is literally math they cannot do.
Yep.
But you would have a long perspective on life, and you would look at them and say, honey, I don't even remember my friends in the eighth grade, let alone what they thought. I don't remember my teachers in the eighth grade. I don't remember my classes. I just know I could do math in high school. Mm-hmm. So God would look at us, a father to his children, and saying, this life is a vapor.
Right.
This life is a moment in time. It's a dim reflection. And the sacrifices that you make to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, so that as in heaven it is on earth, to bring the truth, to bring the love, to bring the care, all of it, you know, to earth, you're not going to care about. Mm-hmm. It is like looking at, you know, one of my kids looking at me and saying, no, I'm going to die because I have a math test and my hair looks bad and my friends didn't invite me to a party. It doesn't matter what I say to that kid, especially if they got cut from the team. Mm-hmm. I cannot make that make sense to them until they've moved on into the life they were actually created to live. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says when he says, what is mortal is swallowed up by life, and it's God himself who created us for this very purpose.
Yep.
So these mysteries, I want you guys to hear me. Everybody listening, stop what you're doing. Pay attention. Bob, Ball, pay attention to me. Okay, so here we go. These mysteries, I am not saying they're not to be wrestled with. I am not saying that they should not be things that are considered or we seek to understand. I do not believe that at all. What I'm saying is that when you wrestle things, many times you wrestle things to the conclusion that it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. And this is where I have to choose. Faith is choosing to believe in what I cannot and will never understand. I have to choose Christ and faith in Christ because he has not shared the fullness of his wisdom and his knowledge with me. I couldn't understand it if he did. In fact, when life plays out in trials, when it plays out in difficulties, we're actually learning more about Jesus because we're sharing in his sufferings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you look at that and you're like, I can't even understand that part. And so this is where I have to rest in it. This is where God gives me peace that surpasses understanding. Mm-hmm. It's where I bring all of my anxieties and all of my cares and where I live in the day. Long time ago, I heard this principle from somebody, and I don't remember who, and it's kind of become my own, but I didn't come up with it, but here's the principle. They said that as human beings, we should practice the 5-90-5 rule. Mm-hmm. So 5-90-5 rule. And what they said was this, 5% of our energy should be spent in the past, so that we can learn from it. Mm-hmm. 5% of our energy should be spent in the future so that we can dream about it. 90% of our energy should be spent on today. Mm-hmm. Because it's actually the only thing Jesus promises us. Yep. And when we think about decisions and when we think about how God is using me and when we think about his will for our life, I don't think about God's will for my life in the next 20 years. I want to think about God's will for my life in the next 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he will direct my path over the course of those years.
Way to play that out in real time. You spend an appropriate amount in the past to the point that you can't remember who said it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
No, that's excellent, Jeff. And I agree. This is the thing that when we wrestle it, the value is when we realize that trusting in God allows him to be mysterious, because when we trust in the person of God, it's okay that he hasn't shown us and told us everything.
Yeah.
Because we trust that he loves us. Well, this has been good, Jeff. Thanks for helping us walk through that, help us understand a little bit more, because some of these questions, especially when we're in the thick of suffering or when we feel like life is super hard, these can be some of the hardest questions that we ask. If you have questions you'd like us to engage, you can always submit those at bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. And if we can help you take any unique next steps, maybe it's to walk through some suffering, maybe it's to get some counseling or to walk through some grief, whatever it might be, reach out. Let us know. Let's walk through this together. If you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more of it, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And if you're looking for a place where you can run after Jesus and continue to discover the mysteries that he has for us, you can join us here in person at Grace or even check us out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all of the mixed messages around us. See you next time.